The epistle is written in Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 10, going into chapter 4, verse 5. Paul's charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel reading can be found in Luke, and it's chapter 6, beginning at verse 46. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We've all done it, drifted off in the middle of a sermon. Sometimes even near the beginning of the sermon, if the person who's preaching isn't one of your favourite or preferred preachers. I'm lost. I don't know where this is going. I'm switching off. This is boring. I really struggle with this preacher. I'm trying to stay with her, but it's just not working. Oh, he's preaching on the Old Testament. That has got nothing to do with my Christian life today. Oh, she's telling me again that Jesus died for my sin and rose again. I know this. I've been a Christian for years. Give me something new. Maybe we get to the end of the sermon and we've even quite enjoyed it and we're ready with our lovely vicar sermon comment at the lovely sermon vicar, got that the wrong way around. Lovely sermon vicar comment at the door. But if we stop and think about it, what are we really taking away from it? What have I learned that I can put into practice in the week ahead as I step out of the door into the rest of my life? Or am I not expecting it to have any impact on the rest of my life? We all have preconceived ideas about things based on our upbringing, our beliefs, our values, our circumstances, and it's the same with sermons and preaching. So whether you realise it or not, you have come here this morning with a view in your mind of what you think preaching is and what you believe it ought to achieve. You've come with an idea in your mind of what you want me to do and what you don't want me to do and how you want me to go about it. The problem from my point of view as this morning's preacher is that you haven't come with one collective idea. You've all got your own individual ideas of what you want this sermon to do for you. There's a few suggestions up there. I'm not implying that those are what are on your mind. But it is highly unlikely I am going to meet all of your ideas in one sermon. One of the reasons for doing this series on how to listen to sermons is the Bible gives us a guide for what teaching from it should achieve. So that's important for us as the preaching team so that we know what we're aiming for. But it's also important for those listening so that our expectations can meet. Terry talked last week about sermons being encouraging, comforting, and urging us to do something. So if you come to listen to a sermon looking for one or more of those, and the preacher has come with the aim of doing one or more of those, then good communication is going to happen, because we've got the same goal. We have a message that we believe God wants us to share with you when we bring a sermon. But we need to be on the same page if you're going to take it on board. If your idea of what preaching should be and my idea of what preaching should be are different, then in the words of Private Fraser, we are doomed from the start. Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, tells me what I should be doing when I'm preaching. And it also tells you what you should be looking for when you're listening. If we both do what we're meant to do, then not only are we going to have good communication, but we're going to grow together as the people of God and be equipped to serve him in our homes, our schools, and our workplaces. So what does Paul say? Any minute now. There we go. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is so much packed into those two sentences. First of all, although this wasn't his aim, Paul deals with some of the things that I had up on the screen earlier that might make us switch off or be tempted to switch off. Paul is writing to Timothy about the scriptures, the holy writings, which when Paul wrote this letter was mainly the Old Testament, plus a few of the New Testament books, which were already considered by many to be inspired by God. So stop and think about that for a minute. Timothy was a New Testament Christian. And Paul says to him that the Old Testament is what has made him wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. It's an important part of the big story of God's rescue plan of salvation. In it, we see how we were created in his image, how sin came into the world and messed up humanity's relationships with God and with each other. We see God's great love for his people, despite them turning their backs on him. We see God's grace in action. We see glimpses of what the relationship between God and his people is meant to be like. And we see the promise of something greater to come. It's all there in the Old Testament. making us wise for salvation. And Paul also says that the Old Testament, all of it, is what Timothy needed to equip him and his congregation of Christians for right living and good works. Because in it we discover the character of God in his dealings with his people and with those who stood against him. We find out that God expects his people to show his character to the world through the way that we live, through the way that we treat each other, through the way that we stand up for justice and provide for those in need. We find out that he expects our actions to match our worship of him. There is a wealth of material for preachers to dig into and for those listening to sermons to ask questions of and to learn from. Eventually, in church history, we ended up with the Bible that we have today, with an agreement across the church that these books were inspired by God. So the New Testament accounts of Jesus' life, death and resurrection and the start of the church, together with the letters to some of those early churches, are beneficial to us. But Paul says here that so is the Old Testament. So if the passage being preached on is an Old Testament historical passage with battles or gruesome killings or morality that's a little bit skewed by our modern standards, God says we've still got something to learn that will help us in our Christian walk of faith. So that's the Old Testament. What about the preachers who tell us again and again about what Jesus has done for us through his death and his resurrection? Paul says that, like me, and I know like some of you, Timothy has known the Holy Scriptures since he was a small child, and that those holy writings are able to make him wise for salvation. It's an ongoing process. It's not that he hasn't been put right with God already through faith in Jesus, but salvation isn't just something that happened to him once in the past. He's been saved, he's been put right with God, now he can leave the cross behind. No, that's not how it works. Later this morning, we're going to celebrate communion. And when we remember what Jesus has done for us through his death and resurrection, but it isn't just a memorial of something long gone. We should be living in the power of the cross each day. I don't know if you remember, if you were here, Tom spoke last month about the fact that we go on living in the grace of God throughout our Christian lives. It is the cross that keeps our faith and hope fixed on God. It's because of the cross that we can ask God for his forgiveness when we fail, knowing that he will show us mercy because of Jesus. It's the resurrection that gives us power to live for him, no matter what our circumstances. And the Bible challenges us to work out our salvation day by day. It isn't just a past act that we remember. It is what fuels our living hope and empowers us to live right lives. And it's what gives us assurance of hope in the future. So when we hear about what Jesus has done for us, no matter how many times we hear it, no matter how long we've been a Christian, there should always be something that we can take away from it. Paul is telling us through this letter to Timothy that any passage of the Bible is useful to us. But I understand it's not always immediately obvious how. And we're still going to struggle sometimes with preachers that don't fit our particular tastes. So let me give you some practical advice based on what Paul says to Timothy here. But it does require a bit of work on your part. When we listen to sermons, we can ask some questions, and they're up on the screen there for you. What is it teaching me? Is it rebuking me? How is it correcting me? And is it providing me with training for right living? When a preacher is at their best, they should be answering these questions when they're applicable to the passage or the theme that they're looking at. But their main emphasis might not be what God chooses to emphasize to you as you listen. And as preachers, we don't necessarily know what is going on in each of your lives. So you can personalize the message of the sermon by asking these questions and thinking about your own situation. So let's work through them. What is it teaching me? I would always say that the best place to start with most sermons and when you're reading the Bible for yourself is, what is it teaching me about God? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is particularly good in Old Testament passages when we get a bit alarmed about what's happening in them and we can't see a natural link with our modern lives. So what is it teaching me about God? Because the Bible is first and foremost a book about Him. So any preacher bringing a message from any passage of the Bible should be saying something about God. Then you need to ask the so what question. If God is like that, well, what does that mean for His work in the world today? What does that mean for my faith in Him? Does it deepen my understanding of who God is and what He's doing? Does that knowledge about God help me in what I'm going through at the moment? But it might also be teaching you something about you, about your relationship with God or your relationship with others, how we should treat each other in the family of God and how we should treat those who aren't yet in God's family. Is the sermon reminding me of something I already knew, which is never a bad thing because most of us need that occasionally? Is it teaching me something I hadn't realized before? Is it helping me look at something in a different way? What is it teaching me that will help me live for Jesus? Then we get to the uncomfortable question. This is the one we don't like. Is God rebuking me? Is He pointing out to me through a sermon that there's something I'm doing that I shouldn't be or something I'm not doing that I ought to be? Is the sermon making me squirm a little or making me feel uncomfortable? I don't know if you've ever felt that the preacher was getting at you. You're sat there thinking, how does he know I've been doing that? Or how does she know that I've let that area of my Christian life slip? And the answer is they didn't know. God did. And God is using the preacher to, as Terry said last week, prod you up the bottom with the poking stick. If you were here last week, you'll have seen the picture. If not, listen to the podcast, you'll hear. He's saying you shouldn't be doing that. But I love that the Bible doesn't just rebuke, it corrects. You don't just get, don't be doing that. God says, do this instead. Don't go down that path, walk this way. And someone who's preaching should generally be doing the same. So when we listen to sermons, we need to be asking, well, how is this correcting me? How is it showing me the right way to go? How is it correcting my thinking about something? And then, what can I do to put that into action this week? Because it's never meant to be just head knowledge. What we hear should affect how we live. So finally, how does this train me for righteousness? For right living? Is this sermon showing me God's values and standards? Is it helping me to grow in my faith? Is it encouraging me to keep going in my walk with Jesus and providing me with tools to do that? Is there something I can take away from the sermon that I can put into practice straight away? Like Timothy, the preachers here are charged to carefully teach the word of God, to correct, to rebuke, to train, to encourage with patience and love, so that we will all be equipped as servants of God to do the good works He has prepared for us to do. And we will do our best to carry out that charge. But preaching isn't a one-way event. It always involves those listening. So if you come on a Sunday and discover that that day's preacher is one you're not keen on, or a teaching style that doesn't appeal to you, or it's a sermon that you're struggling to follow, or a topic that you're fed up of hearing about, we now know that there's a better solution than just switching off and hoping that next week will be better. No matter who is preaching, or how they are preaching, or what they are preaching on, this is God's word, and God says it's useful to us. So whichever part of the Bible is being preached on, and however it's being explained to us, we should always be able to take something away from it to act on. Whether it's something to deepen our knowledge of God, something to help us deal with a situation we're facing, something practical to do, something we need to stop doing, something we need to start doing. Preaching is meant to teach us. It's meant to rebuke us when necessary. It's meant to correct our thinking and our behaviour when necessary. It's meant to train us to live right. It's meant to equip us to be people of God doing good works. We're not meant to just listen. We're meant to put into practice what we hear. And that's the preachers and those listening. Because otherwise, Jesus says, our faith is going to be built on shifting sands that will easily collapse. And that's surely not what we want. We want to be able to stand firm in our faith, sure of what we believe, knowing God's way, growing in our walk with Him, and living His love.